Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
There are quite a number of you who are watching Squid Game, the Korean dystopian series on Netflix, and a question has arisen for viewers that extends to many other foreign language films and TV shows. Which is better, dubbed or subbed? Do you prefer to watch the show in its original language and follow the subtitles on screen, or do you prefer to watch a dubbed version in your own first language? Rick O'Shea, presenter on RTE Gold, and Deirdre Malumbi from entertainment.ie have been mulling over this question and what it says about us and about each of them in terms of the preferences. Before we get into it, though, let's hear a little bit of what it is that we're talking about. We've two clips from Squid Game. This is the original Korean.
지금 빚자리에 계신 여러분들은 모두 감당할 수 없는 빚을 지고 삶의 벼랑 끝에 서 계신 분들입니다. 게임에 참가를 원하지 않는 분은.
And we come to American accent versions. Can we have that? Do we have that, Dave? We do have it. So this is the dubbed version with American accents.
Every person standing here in this room is living on the brink of financial ruin. You all have debts that you can't pay off. If you do not wish to participate, then please let us know at this time.
Okay, Rick, it's important to say that there's an awful lot of people who can't watch with subtitles because they're visually impaired. But if you do have the options here, which do you go for?
I've always gone for subtitled, and I would love to think that's because I prefer the quality of the translation over the dub. But it's just, it was normality when I started going to see foreign language films. So when I ended up in the Lighthouse Cinema in Dublin in whatever, 1990 or 91, when I started going to see French and German and Italian movies, the only way you could see them was in subtitles. So you get used to that really, really quickly. It's the normality. You get comfortable reading those subtitles quite swiftly, or at least a lot of people
do. But when you're a worldly polyglot like you are, are you not annoyed by the fact that what you're actually hearing does not translate to what is being subtitled?
Only in French. I have a smattering of French, and every now and then when I'm watching French movies, I realise that what I'm being shown on screen doesn't, it's not the same as what I'm hearing here.
And it's that miles off.
Nuance.
Of time.
Yeah,
a lot. Because it's very hard to fit all of that dialogue into the screen.
And this is the dubbed versus subbed thing, which is that you have to put subtitles upon screen at a rate at which people can comfortably read them. But if you're dubbing them, then you also need to put the dialogue into the same amount of space that the person's mouth moves for, or else it starts to look like comedy. And that's the whole discussion here.
Deirdre, what kind of a purist are you?
Yes, I would personally prefer subtitles as well, and listening to a film or a television program in its original language. And I mean, you guys were touching on it there. Even subtitles, they can fall short, not just in capturing, you know, what is being said in whatever language it is, word for word, but even like the nuances of the original, you know, say cultural differences and stuff like that. And I know that, for example, people who speak both Korean and English who would have, you know, experienced both versions of Squid Game, they were kind of saying that, you know, the English subtitles for it were falling short of all of these nuances of Korean culture in Squid Game. But I still think it does bring you that bit closer. Mm. And particularly, I would argue, in terms of the tone, you know, when you hear a person's voice, you know, as it was originally meant to be heard, I often find that in the dub version, it can end up a little over dramatic and hammy. I think that what you get a lot in, say, voice work in animation is the actor is encouraged to exaggerate and emote. And I think that when that's applied to, say, live action programming, it can just come across as a bit, I don't know, off-putting, and just they kind of lean into the drama a bit too much.
So that's dubbing why is really, really hard. I once had the awful experience of having to try and dub a 30-second piece to camera of myself, and I sounded like a really cheesy, overacting, hammy version of myself. It's really, really hard to recreate.
That doesn't surprise me. It's an art.
I sound like a hammy version of myself.
I'm going to scroll back on that. It doesn't surprise me that that is the sort of thing that people can factor in. It depends on countries. Having said that, I actually went and I found a map of the countries just in Europe. You can go globally, and the differences between where subtitles are king and where dubbing is the done thing. So it's ourselves in the UK. Iceland, a lot of Scandinavian countries, subtitling is the norm, in Portugal as well, weirdly. But then once you get into Spain, France, Germany, Italy, Dubbing has been the thing that exists in all of the major movies ever since cinema became cinema, to the point where you do have certain actors who spend a life dubbing other people. So Robert De Niro in France is the same guy for decades who is always the voice of Robert De Niro.
And do you think that they are better at it in those countries, and that why we are resistant to it in the Anglophone countries is because we're just not doing it so well?
I think you have to be. I think it's if it's a culture that has existed in your country, and it has done in Italy, it's existed since the 30s. Mussolini was the one who didn't want foreign language films existing in Italy, so he was the one who insisted Italian voices on everything. So I think if you are the sort of country that puts in the time and effort to do it, again, networks like Netflix are coming quite late to this sort of game in terms of doing that in reverse for English language audiences.
Can I make an argument, Deirdre, against subtitling, particularly when it comes to comedy? You're reading the gag ahead of where you're supposed to see and hear it in the screenplay, so to speak. So very often, you know, you can only appreciate the comedy on an intellectual level. You're certainly never going to end up actually belly laughing.
That's true. And I think that when it comes to comedy, you know, those kind of cultural differences, which I think aren't really going to work in terms of subtitling or dubbing, like maybe the little nuances aren't really going to work in terms of either of them. So it's interesting that you mention kind of genre filmmaking there, because I would also argue that anime is a very interesting case when it comes to the whole dubbing versus subtitling argument, because in terms of most TV and feature film making, anime has an extensive history of being dubbed. And as result, they purposely design, you know, the characters' mouths to move that bit more ambiguously. So as a result, a dubbed over voiceover, it just tends to be applied more smoothly. So I'd be a big fan of, say, the Studio Ghibli dubs. So, for example, they've had Christian Bale and Billy Crystal in the dub version of Howl's Moving Castle, or say Minnie Driver, Claire Danes and Billy Crudup in Princess Mononoke. So if we're making an argument, you know, for dubbing, I actually quite like those dub versions. I think they work very well. And particularly, you know, I suppose, like, you know, a Western audience would get kind of a kick out of hearing those celeb voices as well. And then as well, you have the example of anime when it comes to kids. Like, I remember watching a show like Pokemon growing up. I wouldn't have even been aware that the show was dubbed. So in those kind of cases, you don't even notice it. So I suppose, you know, it does depend on like nationality to nationality, country to country, and how well it's done.
Culturally, Rick, something very interesting is happening here for the digital natives generation. They prefer dubbing because it allows them to multi-screen. If they have to read subtitles, they can only concentrate on one screen.
It does for some, and I will also make the counterpoint. Now, I'm that weirdo who doesn't double screen. My phone is usually in a different room, and I wouldn't for a minute think about if I'm watching something that has narrative on TV, whether it's a film or whether it's a TV series. I can't do both. I'm just not capable of it, so I have to do one.
It also deserves your full attention if they've gone into that much effort making a TV program.
And there is that. Having said that, I've had conversations both online and actually with my youngest son, who attempted to begin to watch Squid Game, and he preferred watching it with subtitles because it forced him to put his phone away and because it meant he had to give his complete attention to what he was watching, and therefore he found that he was enjoying it more.
We've actually solved a problem here then today, how to end the really annoying habit of Gen Z-ers multi-screening.
I had a conversation earlier today on Twitter with a guy who's an English and film teacher, and he said he's been teaching subtitled films for the last 20 years, and he said he's noticing this huge change in kids, that they are becoming far more open to the idea of watching these because they are becoming everywhere and they're on major streaming platforms, and that almost none of them had watched it in dub. They'd all watched them in subtitles.
Okay, really interesting. Rick O'Shea and Deirdre Malumbi, thank you both very much for that. We'll take our last break.